Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
When you were opening with that song, Ari, I was remembering growing up, my mother and my grandmother and my uncle all have degrees in art history. So I spent a lot of time in art museums. And you know these beautiful, beautiful paintings that, you know, Van Gogh, anybody. And you're out in the middle of the room and they're just gorgeous. And then you get up close and it's dabs of paint. And, oh, yeah, I've watched Sylvia do this work. You know, and it's this color and that color and that color. And somehow this weird little thing that I'm seeing up close, I come back and I go, wow, yeah? Point of view, that greater point of view that allows us to see the whole picture, right? And as the song says, see the blessing that is in this picture. The beauty, the joy, the shared love that is happening in every single encounter. That's from A Course in Miracles, by the way. Right? Every single interaction is an expression and a request for the experience of love. Sometimes it doesn't look like that. So I need to take a breath. This is neurophysiology, by the way. Take a breath and get into that place where I am willing to step out of the immediate context and see that love, see that blessing, see the beauty. And for all living systems, which each of us is, and this organization is, and this planet is, that process is a developmental process. That experience is a piece of, a step in, a phase of becoming more fully who we truly are, and becoming more expansively what is possible in the all that is. And this is what we call evolution. This is what is happening when we are evolving. I came into New Thought, which is get a new thought about a situation from this larger point of view, from the systems and cybernetics field. Some of you have heard too much about that, but a few didn't know that. So, and I was drawn to that field because it gave me that larger point of view. It is a framework for seeing, oh, this is just a little piece of something bigger. This, if this continues this way, then this connection is happening and that connection is happening and these things are likely to come out of it. It's not just what is happening in this moment here and now. Was very helpful to me. I was being an environmental activist and I went into community development and all of this stuff, and to have that capacity to see the interrelationships and a larger picture made everything so much more doable, right? Seeing comes from being and leads to doing. Now, I'm not talking about what I'm seeing with my eyes, though. The eyes are just seeing those little bits of oil on the canvas. And when I step back, I'm seeing with that inner vision as well. My whole mind is now engaged in the whole picture. And the reason I was drawn to systems theory was it gave my mind a framework to do that. And the fundamental principle of systems is it's all one. Where have we heard that before? Which was part of why it made it so easy for me to slip into New Thought, right? Because I came from an intellectual background that said, yeah, that's how it is. And not only is it all one, but it's all interconnected, and you cannot even think without having an effect on the whole. Well, have we heard that before? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Science and spirituality coming together. I love it. Because now my intellect and my inner knowing are in full alignment. And that makes life flow. That's where the flow comes from, that sense of alignment. Now, often we'll get that flowing sense from a temporary alignment, like we're focusing on how beautiful things are or how in love we are. That's the best way to get into flow. Just be in love. Choose it. And you can. Oh, dear. I'm being inspired to tell you a story. The story goes back to when we had answering machines, not cell phones. Okay. A few people in this room might possibly remember. And this woman was on a business trip, and it was going very well. And she was on the flight home, and she was so happy because she was coming back. She was so in love, and they were so in love with each other, and she could hardly wait to get back home. And she just radiated. You know how people who are very much in love are radiating their wonderfulness, right? So everyone on the plane realizes this woman is just, you know, she's fabulous. She's in love. And she gets home, and, you know, with the answering machines, you walk in the door, you put everything down, you hit the button. So she did that. And she hit, you know, there was a message from so-and-so and a message from so-and-so, and then there was a message from the beloved. Oh, how wonderful. And it starts out with her name, and then it says, I've been thinking, I don't think we're going to work out. Now, she took a moment. Obviously, she was in shock, and it didn't feel very good. But then she realized she had been living life as if he was in love with her when he wasn't. That meant it was all on her. She was choosing to believe she was in love. She made a decision. And she chose to live that way the rest of her life. And when I sing that wonderful song about blue skies, yeah, there's this line in there. It says, when you're in love, my, my, how they fly. And I always stick living in there. When you're living in love, my, my, how they fly. Yeah? Flow. Flow flies, right? There's this marvelous author, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, wrote a book called Flow. He came to Portland when I was in the system science program here at Portland. He was candidating to be on the faculty, and we all looked at his stuff, and we said, this is very interesting. He was doing computer autopoiesis, which is a self-creating, the creative process. Have we ever heard anything about that? Well, he ended up not staying in Portland. He went back east, and they gave him a better deal because Oregon colleges and universities tend to underpay because we've got such a beautiful environment. They figure people will come to ski and see the ocean and stuff. So he wanted more, you know, to be paid more because he was shipping money home to where he was from. So anyway, he left. But he did write this book called Flow about 10 years after he was here. And I'm looking at this book, and I'm remembering a conversation. The thing that he had brought that was explaining how little systems can self-create, self-organize, become larger systems was very stable. It wasn't flowing. And I had asked him, what would happen if? And I think maybe he listened. What do you think? And that was a wonderful reminder that you can never do just one thing. A little question from someone who was maybe going to be one of the instructors in our program. And this book came out in the 80s and is still one of the top books in the subject. Wow. It wasn't about me. It was about a little thing having a huge impact, right? How do we evolve? We evolve by taking one little step in alignment, in that flow that allows us to become more fully who we are and more fully what we could potentially become in the world of form. Who we are is in the world of spirit. Becoming is in the world of form. How's that feel? Can we live with that? Who we are is unchanging. It is constant. It is perfection. It is whole. That doesn't evolve. But we get to allow and experience more fully who we are. That core, unchanging self, capital S. And that's what Ralph Waldo Emerson was talking about in Self-Reliance. Rely on that capital S self, and the world is flow. It is beauty. It is joy. It is everything one could ever hope for. And in the world of form, we have very clear evidence in the very first chapter of that scripture that we call the Bible, Genesis 1. We declare and form emerges. That divine beingness that we are, the who we are, brings forth form. And that form is constantly becoming more and more complex. Well, guess what the next principle in systems theory is? That living systems are constantly increasing in complexity. So dust becomes planets and solar systems. That says solar systems are living systems. There is a scientist out there right now by the name of Rupert Sheldrake who is asking people, is the sun conscious? And demonstrating, yes, it must be. The world is finally coming around to our way of thinking. Solar systems are conscious living systems. The universe must be conscious. This is Amit Goswami, the self-aware universe. If form exists and is becoming more complex, consciousness is evolving. Living systems evolve into more and more complex systems. So, unfortunately, the culture that we have lived in for our lifetimes and that has been the dominant culture on the planet now for a few decades doesn't believe that, because it's based on a set of theories that do not understand systems at all. And those theories have to do with things called entropy and the breaking down of things over time. The assumption in Newtonian physics and classical physics is that whenever I do anything, whenever anything, anyone, any being, any form does anything, heat is released and dissipated into the universe, and that leads to the degrading of what is happening. Well, to me, that's like looking at these little tiny spots of oil on the canvas, because in a particular moment, that is true, that my car engine is going to wear out. It's at 228,000 miles. And someday, along about 250, 275, if I don't do everything perfectly, it might give out. That's how entropy works. But living systems don't do it that way. Living systems say, oh, good, heat, I can do something with that. Living systems says, oh, good, little bits and pieces. Oh, good, I can put them together into something new. That's what we do. That's what our bodies are doing. Unfortunately, a lot of our medical practitioners have been trained to think that our bodies are machines and they wear out over time. And this leads to a whole philosophy of aging, which I frankly don't buy into. This body is just about exactly as it was when the calendar said 55. And we all can experience that. Wow. Because living systems are constantly developing. They are not wearing out. Are we willing to go that far? But if we go to the next level, what about communities? What about organizations? Are they subject to entropy? Or do they evolve? Now, this evolutionary process is not a straight line. We'd like it to be. Remember when, you know, we used to see these TV ads or whatever, and there would be the sales line going up, and that was a good thing, right? I was listening to an interview with the former CEO of Seventh Generation, and he said, there was a time when we were growing by 50% a year, and I thought that was fabulous, but we all got burned out. Growth at that rate is too much, right? And we can see that in other living systems, in plants and other organisms, if they grow too fast. If the teenager grows a foot in a couple of months, there's kind of a, right? Or if the algae takes over the pond or any number of things like that. We don't want explosive growth. We want enhanced development. Well, it happens that living systems have processes for growth. And we know that. The seed in its hard shell isn't doing anything. In the right environment, that shell begins to dissolve and break open, and we get sprouts and shoots and roots. And that's the breaking apart of one form to allow a new form that is more fully fulfilling what the genetics, the basis, the core, the energy of that original thing is. And the breaking apart is never fun. Never fun. Unless you take joy in taking things apart. Unless you realize, oh my goodness, this is fun, I can do this and I can do that that I couldn't do before. Or you're like some of those gods in the other pantheons, you know, that like to take things apart. Shiva is the destroyer, but he's also the creator. He breaks things open so that the new can emerge. In order for us to become who we are, we have to leave behind who we were. And in my seminars, I do this, I talk about this as kind of an infinity symbol, and I think I've done this here once or twice, where the little seed's over here, and something happens to cause that seed to begin to sprout. And that sprout begins to grow and develop and and starts involving other critters in the plant that would be, you know, bacteria and fungus and more minerals from the soil, and involves more and more, gets a little structured, there's more and more involvement, and then the structure starts to grow and get stronger and fuller and more complex. Okay, and this whole time, there's all kinds of things happening in the environment. There's changes in the weather. There's changes in the population of the area around this seed and this plant, this thing that is becoming more and more complex. And there might be even a fire or two or a windstorm or two or some other thing. And they're just going on all the time. But there comes a point where the structure of whatever this seed has become is so tight and so rigid and so firm that just one of those little things that's been happening all along hits it and it falls apart. In catastrophe theory, that's the catastrophe. The falling apart of what was. Now the question is, are we going to go into chaos because what was no longer exists, and we're going to hang on for dear life to what was, because what was is what we know and it's familiar? Or are we going to go, oh, something's happening here. Ooh, I wonder what's happening here. Ooh, where's the seed? What's trying to happen here? Where and how can we find the blessing and know that something new is emerging and support that? The longer we hold on to what was, the longer that chaotic period follows the catastrophe. The quicker we focus on the possibility of a new seed, guess what? We start the whole process again. At a whole new level, we are evolving. Now, those of you who used to live in California are aware that redwood tree seeds, those pine cones, have to have a fire to grow new seeds, new trees, new seedlings. They have to. And yet somehow we got this notion of hanging on to the past and tried to prevent all kinds of fires until we made it so that the fire that did happen was really damaging. And these kinds of understandings require stepping back. What is the actual life cycle here? How can we support it? I think you understand why I'm saying some of these things this time in this congregation, yes? But I want to say something more, because if we lift our point of view even further out, are you aware of the concept of as above, so below? As within, so without, yeah. More of our teachings, yes? Well, it happens that within any large system, any complex system, and the human body is a very complex system, but in any system, organizations, whatever, ecologies, the something that is going on at the greater level of the whole system starts happening at the smaller levels in very similar, very parallel ways. We have reached a point in humanity's experience where we no longer get to be materialists. One of the indicators of that is most of our structures are falling apart. We have reached that point of our rigidity led to the next normal, natural thing becoming catastrophic and going into what has felt very chaotic. Humanity as a whole is doing that. And PCSL has had to do that too. And some of us are doing that in our personal lives and in our families as well. It's all one system. You cannot separate anything from anything. Oh, I think I've heard that somewhere. There is no separation. The principles that we teach in New Thought, whether it's Centers for Spiritual Living or Unity or Divine Science, are absolutely supported by the observations, theories, and mechanisms in systems thinking. And We have tools. We know how to support these processes. We can shift our point of view from what appears to be this chaotic mess to, okay, this is just a process, a part of a larger process. And as we focus on the core, the vision, the beauty, the possibility of who we can be, we get to see the whole painting, not just the mess of little oil dots on the painting. Humanity is ending a 6,000-year period. Astrologically, that's as of July 21st this year. The Mayan calendar was saying that we entered into the ending stage. That was that whole 12-21-2012, right? We exited the ending stage on 12-12-21, have been in that place where there's gestation, okay? What was is no longer. There's been this emptiness potential, and now there's been gestation. And now we have got to the point where each and every one of us individually and in all our collective forms, as above, so below, get to move into the next stage of humanity's development, which is based on the inner awareness rather than the outer measurement. We had 6,000 years of values based on acquiring, controlling, accumulating, organizing. That's ending. We're beginning to feel more and more in alignment with the flow of indigenous value systems that are based on sharing, being aware, harmonizing. Doesn't that feel better? Yeah. I can let go. I can allow. I can embrace as we sing in that song. That's the direction we're moving as a culture. And that is the direction that each of us individually is feeling drawn, and organizations are being required to thrive, in order to thrive, to become also. Organizations of sharing and harmonizing, of being open, of accepting, of embracing. Portland CSL has done so well in so many of those areas, but has a history that you're drawing from of that rigidity and that structure, and that got you into a catastrophic experience. Each of us individually and collectively get to wake our little minds up and become the big mind that we are. And be open to how is the flow trying to happen here? What is being created in this self-organizing living system that is Portland CSL? I'm very honored that you called on me to help facilitate this process. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I look forward over the next 3 months, 4 months, we got through September, to do whatever we need in that wonderful, flowing, harmonious, loving state of being that is who we are, to see what PCSL is becoming as the world's, as humanity's beingness is evolving to a whole new way of being on this planet. Are you up for that journey?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, from that, let's go into a treatment. And I think moving into that space of treatment is moving into that sense of the power of the one. It isn't just moving into, I think somewhere, somehow I'm part of the one, right? So let's breathe and feel. Let's feel that beingness that is everywhere present, and that is moving in us, through us, and as us now. That power that feels like love, that feels like life, that feels like creativity in us, through us, and as us. Yes. And as we allow that power to be who we are, because it is who we are, we realize that wherever we put our attention and intention, we must experience. We can't not, because that is the nature of who we are. And the forms around us and in us are beginning to shift and change as we set our intention for thriving in the flow of well-being that is our true nature. As we set our intention and focus our attention on fully being in the love, living in love, with each other and in this and with this wonderful world, this planet that we call Mother Earth, yes. And all the beings on it working with us harmoniously as we share and flow with each other and discover and embrace and accept the possibilities that are emerging for greater and greater love, more and more beauty and joy, fuller function in every aspect of our being. We feel this and we know this and we accept this, for this is who we are. And we see this center and every like-minded being around the world, all those who resonate with us, we feel and see all of us moving into this new way of being where the rigidity of the past is dissolved into the flow and harmony and joy, the sharing and the giving and the receiving that is the nature of all beings everywhere. For this, I am deeply grateful that we get to experience this and know this and accept this process as the truth of our being, the truth of the world. It is so, and let us say together, and so it is. Thank you very much.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.